Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show, halfway through the week. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and the pre-owned inventory. And whether you're getting that new or pre-owned car, you got a sales staff that's there for you and not just there for the sale, and a service department that's there with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, all part of that Sunbury Motors guarantee. And of course, that means in that service department, you have plenty of awesome technicians ready to serve you, but SMC is looking for more because a 107-year-old dealership has been earning your support through all this time that they need more because of all the business you give them. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they'd love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Got a busy show once again today. High school roundtable will be today instead of tomorrow with all of our switcheroony and schedules this week with the road game for Penn State. So high school roundtable today at 3:35, then ESPN's Adam Rittenberg at 4:06, and On3.com's Nate Bauer at 4:35. Then tomorrow, another busy show. NBC Sports Philly's Michael Barkan at 3:35, Jerry Dulac from the Steelers Radio Network at 4:06, and then the King with this week's picks. So we got a lot to get to in the next couple of days. Now, as we get set for today's show, the Phillies and Braves, of course, were supposed to play Game 2 at 4:35 today. That will not start on time due to the weather down there in Atlanta. I guess there's some thunderstorms that are planned or that are forecasted between now and 5 p.m., and I guess it's raining right now currently, so they're trying to find a time where they can play the game uninterrupted. Of course, if you get into that, then you get into all the craziness with the pitchers, and you have to go down, open up that can of worms for both these teams, so they're trying to play the game uninterrupted. So the start time for now is to be determined, and don't know. Haven't heard anything else since then. But here's your Phillies lineup once they do get going. Schwarber in left, Reese Hoskins at first, Realmuto at catcher, Bryce Harper, DH, Castellanos in right, Bohm at third, Marsh at center field, Segura at second, Stott at shortstop, Zach Wheeler on the mound today for the Phils. So there's your lineup. And then also here tonight, or actually now the thunderstorms looks like could be going through until 6 or 7, so this might turn into a night game now at this point for the Phillies. So we'll see how that goes. And then, yeah, Padres and the Dodgers game 2 at 8:37 today. So it's everybody opened up yesterday, and now you're on the alternate of NLDS games on one day, ALDS games on another day, so the ALDS games, game 2s will be tomorrow, of course, weather permitting. And actually, weather's threatening the Yankees-Guardians game 2 tomorrow in the Bronx. So we'll have to keep an eye on this, since it looks like Mother Nature's trying to wreak havoc on the schedule here. And if she does, this will be interesting to see how this plays out, because the NFL had to announce today a scenario where if the Mariners-Astros series goes four games, then, and there's a playoff game in Seattle, the Seahawks are also home that day. Right now, they're scheduled for a 4:05 kick. If the Mariners are home that day, and they're right next to each other, those two stadiums, then the kickoff for the Seahawks-Cardinals game will be 5:30 Eastern. And right now in Philly, the Phillies game scheduled for Sunday, should it get to that point, is scheduled for 4:30. And, of course, Eagles-Cowboys is the Sunday night game this week in the NFL. So if things get pushed back, I'll be curious to see how that goes with the scheduling. So, well, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep you posted on all that once we see if we have a start time for the Phils and the Braves. Phils, of course, up one game to none. Dodgers win last night as well. They're up one game to none as well. When it comes to the Eagles-Cowboys game, Cooper Rush looks like officially will get the start per Mike McCarthy today, Steve.
Advantage Dallas. All right, good. Okay, so there you go. There you go. Worst case scenario you could have. They're actually going to start the guy that is going to beat you like a drum. All right.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Cocky group in Philadelphia. And then your chances of getting the World Series died on one swing yesterday. All right.
Yeah, that was not fun to watch.
What are you talking about? That's what makes baseball great.
It does, but it's for the wrong team.
Ain't for the wrong team.
I'm sorry. I hate the Astros. I'm sorry.
The team you're not rooting for, but it was great for baseball. Ironically, I came out of practice yesterday, out of football practice, and I put on the radio, and I was listening to the Mariners broadcast.
And oh boy.
And they literally just brought in Robbie Ray. And I'm like, okay, you know. Like, yeah, you know, we all know Robbie Ray won the Cy Young last year and blah, 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 so forth. I mean, no offense, him winning the Cy Young last year didn't light me up. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. They bring him in, and then the second pitch, I mean, he threw him back-to-back fastballs. And look, and the Scott Service move is not a bad move. There's nothing wrong with the move. I mean, the first two guys got on base. One guy that was called up in August, he reached on a walk. And then with two strikes, what, Pena singled up the middle? Okay. And, yeah, that's all she wrote. That's all she wrote. Alvarez hit the home run, and then, you know, you're disgusted. You don't like great moments.
I do. I just don't like them happening for the Astros.
No, you don't like it happening because the Mariners are easier for your team to beat.
There's that, too.
No, that is the whole thing. That is the whole thing. The whole thing is that the Mariners are easier for your team to beat.
Yeah, that's part of it. I don't deny it.
Well, no, it's because you root for your team. I am a neutral observer. You know, I was very impressed by Judge's three strikeouts last night.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Just kidding. The Indians can't hit. The Indians, that's twice I've done that now. The Guardians cannot hit enough. They cannot hit enough to win a game in this series. They just can't. Now, it's going to switch up because of what Bieber, I think, goes tomorrow, right?
Correct. It's Bieber versus Nasty Nestor tomorrow.
Yeah, for people that don't know. So we don't use nicknames here. I actually use the names of the people. Nestor Cortez is who he's talking about. You know, we actually, like, use the full names. Because, like, I assume, like somebody in Winfield's not sitting there going, who's Nasty Nestor?
Oh, my almighty!
Is he one of the sales guys that works with the suit?
S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
G-O-N-E. Gun. Ah. No. Did you like that?
That was good.
But it was a great moment. It was bad for the Mariners. I mean, the Mariners did the same thing to the Blue Jays, and then they had it done to them. You know, I don't know, 72 hours later. So there you go. Okay. Let's get to. We're working on getting, by the way, we are getting very close now to getting John Orrand on the show. Great effort by Matt. No, you have no idea what I'm talking about. We're very close getting John Orrand on the show.
Excellent.
We are also working on getting Scott Docterman on the show. You're like, okay, who's Scott? We have had Scott on the show before. We had Scott on the show when he was covering Iowa. Football and basketball. So he's been on the show, I don't know, 3-4 times. He now writes for The Athletic. He did a sit-down yesterday with Kevin Warren after Warren was finished with his press conference. We will give you some of the highlights of that sit-down in a moment. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
And the pitch. Swung on line towards right field. Coming off Castellanos, still coming. He dives, and he got it! Nick Castellanos with a full out dive has made the catch in right field for the second out.
What a catch.
What indeed, what a catch. What a catch indeed. I had the TV on here in the Sunbury Motors studio and I was watching it and I made reference to it. And it's what you didn't see in the Yankee game last night, like big time guys making big time plays. And so,
you're actually right about that, except till later in the game.
Your team just did nothing but routine stuff all night. Which is fine. A team that can't hit, if the Guardians could hit, you'd be in big trouble. Please, I know you want to say the Yankees had a big, big time win yesterday. Whoop de doo. That's nice. Nah, goodie for you.
No,
you
beat a team that, they did just enough.
Beat a team that can't hit. Okay, good. And I'm just kidding you. All you got to do is win it this time of the year. That's all that matters. But that play by Castellanos, I looked at that one. Because if that ball drops, in fact, it may not be just that it drops. It might be extra bases. That's the tying run with one out. Maybe it's second, possibly third, if he doesn't make that catch. It's a fabulous play. Big-time play. And speaking of routine, the Dodgers-Padres game was pretty routine last night. The Padres only had one inning where they got any offense going. They had a chance to tie it up, and they wrapped into a double play. The usual mumbo-jumbo, which is, it's kind of getting out of hand with the ground. I think it was Myers. That ground ball was 101 miles an hour. He hit it real hard. Well, how about like the fielder did a great job of fielding it? They didn't mention the job the fielder did. If it's hit so hard, he had to react fast to make a play. No, it was how hard the ball was hit. Boy, yeah, that's a hard out. What are we doing here? Everything's exit velo and blah, 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 blah. It's like, come on. That would be a home run in 16 parks. Well, guess what? It's not a home run in this park. So, who cares? I don't care if it's a, I don't care if it's a home run in Oakland. We're not playing in Oakland. Stupid stuff like that. All right. Yesterday. Like, for example, like how short's the fence at Yankee Stadium? Was it 220 feet? I'm just kidding.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
It's got a pop fly. It's gone. Yesterday, a very measured response by Kevin Warren, saying the Big Ten needs to be mindful when it comes to adding potential new members. So we sat down with Scott Docterman of The Athletic, and we're going to try and get Scott on the show next week. He says he needs to be in tune with his staff and key Big Ten stakeholders rather than becoming influenced by external factors. That's a critical sentence that I want to resonate with the audience. And there are reasons why I say it. I'll leave it at that. Okay? And Matt knows when I say something like that, there are reasons why I say it. Correct, Matt?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, hey, once again, and this is Scott's sentence. Scott wrote this sentence. Warren described mindful as something more in tune with his staff and key Big Ten stakeholders rather than becoming influenced by external factors. All right? Key sentence. That's got a lot behind it. I'll leave it at that. We've been blessed with 14 incredible institutions. That's the foundation of the Big Ten. We're adding two more, USC, UCLA in 2024, so there's much work to be done between now and then. Correct. I said recently to our senior leadership, what are, like, the can't-miss priorities? One of them is we have to flawlessly integrate USC and UCLA, which we will. We've got to flawlessly integrate our new network partners. Both are spot on. Exactly. You got to take care of your own house first. Okay? Next piece is that they feel integrating the transition to a 12-team college football playoff structure perhaps as early as 2024. It doesn't mean expansion is not a priority, but it is no longer has the immediacy it did during the summer. All right? I'm always mindful of what's going on at different conferences and the different markets and what's happening, Warren said, but right now we've got to make sure we take care of our business. And by the way, I can see the 12-team playoff happening in 24 and 25. I can see it going to 16, which I would absolutely be in favor of, in 26. Why 26? Because I think you'd like to have 16 in place in 26 with multiple TV partners, because that's when the new TV contract begins. Get my gist of that? Those were interesting statements by Kevin Warren in the interview with Scott. All right, got a lot going on today. Our roundtable in the next half hour. All stories about the suit, not the games.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So after an extensive legal battle, the Allstate website, Buckeye Scoop, evidently one of their former All-Americans was able to get into their internal site, and they were using some of the practice footage, I guess, on the site. I just wanted to point that out because I think the suit wants us to do it. I'm sorry. oh, we got to have an advantage. I want screaming. All right. How about that?
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells found.
That's not good. Everybody's looking for an advantage. Can't you just be good at your job? In all seriousness, I was listening to ESPNU. It was on Sirius. And they had a Michigan, beat writer. He has his own podcast, website, whatever, okay? And he's going on about Penn State secondary and all the yards they've given up. I'm sitting there, you know, I'm listening to this. He goes, and this is the weakness of the football team. I'm like, oh, this is what you're telling people in the air?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I'm not going to get it. I haven't told you the publication. I have not told you his name or anything like that. And nor will I. That's not right for me to do that. But I'll say it straight out. I listened to that and I thought to myself, you are not good at your job. Man, you gotta watch a team. You gotta see what they do, don't do, what the situations are, and so forth. I mean, you have to see that. I don't know. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. I mean, you were gonna jump in and say something. I'm sure it was hateful. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say there was another tweet out there today that said, "Watch out for Matt Rhule connection to Penn State if James Franklin leaves." And I'm just like, stop creating that stupid, lazy narrative.
Everybody's been doing that. I don't really. Matt is a really good guy. Okay, he obviously is very close to Pat because Pat was at Temple with him. Okay. So it like all this 2+2=5 stuff is out there, on a wide variety of things. Because everybody's trying to get their story out one way or another, trying to get. And this is where, and in all honesty, this is where, like, for example, so I'll bring up something that the station cares about that I don't care about, okay? And everybody knows what it is. I've talked about it before. I could care less about tweets, about hits, or anything like that. You either want to listen to it or you don't, okay? It's up to you. We get a lot of hits. We had somebody. I don't gotta go, hey, how many did we get? Oh, giddy. I got to do another show tomorrow. I'm not, you know. My job is to make tomorrow's show better than today's show. My job is to make Friday's show better than Thursday's show. My job is to make Monday's show better than Friday's show. I can't control if people, like, click on. And I know you live by it. I got to go ahead and tell everybody what you live by. Go ahead.
Are you referring to clickbait?
Yes. See, I could care less about it. My job is to make the show better every day, which we're going to do in a moment here with the roundtable. But that's my job. My job is not to, you know, how many clicks can I possibly get by doing something? I don't play that game. Okay, that's not how media works. I mean, for goodness sakes, we could have the sales staff click on 200 times and we got 200 views. Correct?
Technically, yes.
Not technically, absolutely. Right? Anybody could do that. It's the quality of it. What's the quality? Are you putting out good content? We got Adam Rittenberg today. Good content. We got Nate Bauer today. Good content. We got Michael Barkan tomorrow. Good content. We got Jerry Dulac. Good content. We're going to have Reginald Walker on Friday. Good content. That's what it's about. And does it resonate then with the audience? Right? Matt, whining, moaning, and complaining and telling everybody something is stupid. Good content. Right?
On most days, I'm sure.
Good content. All right. Speaking of good content, Zach Showers comes in. And Zach comes. Way to go. What kind of a... Get yourself together. What kind of operation is this? Zach, are you there?
I am there. How you doing,
yeah,
Steve?
Good, because, I mean, we got dial tone before because Matt's a little flustered right now.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, I think that'd be just to get contact. I think they're going to ask Judge to bunt. All right. So he's all worked up. Well, what did last week mean? I mean, with everything that they had going into the game, what did last week mean?
Yeah, I think last week was big.
I agree.
Sort of ended up coming up with a 42-6 victory over a Central Mountain team that, you know, on paper and in person isn't a great team. They're winless on the season. But I feel like for the first time this year, Salins Grove came out in a game and did what they were supposed to do. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead in the first quarter and then put 14 points up in the second quarter and 14 points up in the third quarter. And, you know, the first team defense was able to hold Central Mountain scoreless. So they came out and actually got out to a quick start, which was pretty important. And you just kind of felt like, you know, if they were able to get a big play early or, you know, get a big run early, that, you know, everything would kind of fall together. And that's exactly what happened.
So when I talked to you last week, Zach, it was about, do we know where this team is? Did last week answer some of those questions, or there's still you're not sure yet?
I think it did answer some questions. I think they've been searching for consistency across the board, especially offensively. The defense has been solid when you look at, you know, when you look at yards given up, when you look at points. They've been pretty much the same every week, you know, although they have made some changes here and there with personnel. But offensively, I think what we're seeing is the ability now to establish a running game early and then pass when you need to. Some of that, I think, is just the fact that, you know, you're still bringing a quarterback that had an injury a couple weeks ago and, you know, threw the ball pretty well on Friday night. But, yeah, you're still kind of coming together here, but you are liking what you're seeing as far as consistency offensively, mainly because you're able to establish that running game.
All right, so then how do you view this week's game?
This week's really interesting. You know, Salins Grove has close to a two-hour trip out to Hollidaysburg, out past Altoona. So that's always a challenge in of itself, you know, getting out of school early and being on the bus for 2 hours.
And Hollidaysburg is okay. They're not great.
Yeah, so they're an interesting team because they're 1-6. When you look at look at them on paper, you think 1-6. Well, what?
And that one is Belfont, I believe.
Right. Which they beat Belfont 32-0, and Salins Grove beat them 31-0. So I guess by that point, the Salins Grove is a 1-point favorite in the game. I don't know. so they had a similar result, although late in the season. They're a team that, when you look at their losses, it's been against 3-6A schools, two teams from Maryland, and a team with the nation's leading rusher last week in Oil City. So they've faced some pretty good competition. They've lost some of those games pretty convincingly. They've also played solid in some of those games as well. So it'll be an interesting game. They have given up a lot of yards on the ground, which I think is an area that bodes well for Salins Grove, and also hearing they could have some linemen out as well, which could help that way. They are a team that primarily lines up and likes to throw the ball all over the place, which has led to some high passing yards, a lot of touchdowns, but also a lot of interceptions. Their leading rusher, who has under 200 yards on the season, hasn't played since week 3. So when you look at statistics there, that can be a bit deceiving. So, you know, it's again, a challenge when you have to drive those 2 hours. I think if Salins Grove shows up with being the more physical team on Friday night and they show up and, you know, can jump out to an early lead, you know, it's a game that's definitely winnable, and you hope they can win by a couple scores. But it's also a game similar to last year. They played a pretty bad Muhlenberg team in Reading around this time of year, had a long drive, and just showed up really flat. And I think ended up winning by about 10 points in a game that they probably should have won by 30 or 40. So, you know, anything can happen when you're making that drive, and, you know, hopefully Salins Grove can show up and put together a good effort and press on to 6-2 on the season.
Zach, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
As they say at Illinois, Chief! How are you,
hey,
Dave? Great to have
I'm
you
good,
with us.
Steve. I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I know you had some doubts going into last week. Was it more just of reinforcing some of those doubts?
Yeah, pretty much so. I thought again, our defense played well at times. Mifflinburg tried to establish a running game the first quarter, and Chickalemme did a nice job of stopping them several times. And they went to the pass, and of course they've got a very balanced attack. And got ahead of us, and it was another game where if the offense could put points on the board, we would be, and I know it's kind of obvious, we would be in so much better shape because our defense is on the field all the time, and they just basically get worn down.
Yeah, I mean it's true. How many two-way guys are playing?
Probably, I would think there's probably eight of them that go both ways. But here's the thing:
that's too much.
The rest of the guys, they might come in and they might go both defense and offense for a series, and then somebody might give them a spell on defense for a while or offense. So I would say the majority of the positions are being held by guys that are playing both ways in the game. And the other thing is, you know, they've got to be on the special teams too. And that doesn't even give them a break there. But, hey, listen, I as far as physically being what I would call tough on the field, I thought our kids were just as physical as Mifflinburg. In fact, there were a couple of plays that remember there was one tackle made that I said, boy, that was worth the price of admission. And it was one of our kids that did it. So, you know, they're like I think Coach Kaiser says, they don't give up, and it's just a matter of having getting the offense going. And you know, Lucas Wetzel's got thrown in the quarterback situation. You know, how would you like to be the quarterback, and then when you're on defense, you got to go play defensive end? You know, and so it's a little bit different situation for him. But I thought he did a decent job on against a pretty good Mifflinburg team, and we did get our running game going a little bit, and we played between the 20-yard lines. It seemed that we'd get down close to the red zone, and we'd have a turnover, or we would go four and out. So, like I said, I think the offense is what Chickalemme needs if they're going to try to win any of these ball games. Bloomsburg's solid. They're another team that. I can't see any difference as far as their offense, their defense, their special teams. They're all pretty solid. So it's going to be an interesting game here on Friday night.
Yeah, no question. It's also interesting. Most guys that play quarterback end up when they play defense are playing safety. They don't
right.
usually go from quarterback and play defensive end. Do they have enough? I mean, is this a question of not having quote enough athletes?
Yeah, well, the question is the Turbo Ortiz young man has got hurt, and he was playing quarterback.
Right.
But you know, then he's also a linebacker. You know, so it's again losing Brody Raybuck, the freshman quarterback. That really was tough. I mean, we didn't realize at the time how difficult it was going to be. But you know, Brody's as a freshman he's the athlete they need at the quarterback position, and right now we won't have him back till next year. So you're right, you're absolutely right. It's a matter of you know, not having you play with what you have. And Lucas has had quarterback experience from before. He just hasn't been doing a lot of it this year because he was playing defensive end and tight end. So it's again. I think things could get better this week. You know, he's got another week of running plays on offense, and hopefully, you know, I'm hoping.
Right. No, I understand that. It's going to be a tough matchup against Bloomsburg.
Yeah, I got to tell you this, Greg's filling in for me this week. I'm going to visit my granddaughter at Case Western University, and he's going to do double duty. He's going to do my job on Friday night, and he's going to do his job on Saturday at Lewisburg. I know he's probably listening to me, and I appreciate him helping me out.
Well, see, that's the problem, Chief, is, you know, Greg...
And
you know,
the broadcast gets hijacked.
That's the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's like...
That spells suit. Suddenly
out of nowhere, we've become the Hindenburg.
See, that's the problem. He doesn't understand everything that goes with it. I mean, not only do you have to carry the broadcast with the most intelligent commentary available, but you also have to carry all the equipment. See, Greg doesn't know what he's getting into yet.
Oh, my almighty!
We'll find out.
Good luck, Greg.
Hey,
good luck.
I figure I don't have to talk much Friday night. Well, that's the plan.
Oh, yeah, that's right there. You will appreciate yourself as a play-by-play guy when the game's over. I'll tell you that.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells out.
Have a good trip, Chief. We'll see you next week, buddy.
Thanks very much, Steve. See ya.
To quote Ricardo Montalban in the movie The Wrath of Khan, I grow fatigued. All right, so... Greg!
Hey, how you doing?
I figured I'd say the name loud enough to let the other guy know he's not supposed to talk here.
There's a time where I'm not supposed to talk?
God, it's like, look, there's 24 hours in a day, and I'm trying to make sure all 24 hours are suit-free. All right, so, I mean, we all have goals. So, Greg, let's get to the second game.
Okay.
Since Chief covered your first game.
Yes, he did. And he did a great job.
He did a great job. You're going to see two games between Friday and Saturday, Greg. They're going to be pretty much the same thing. Enough defense, not enough offense. Is that fair?
Oh.
And I just heard the suit leave the room.
He did. You're right.
Okay, you're on the radio, okay? Okay, oil the doors, okay?
Lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Matt, where do we find these people, Matt?
The question is, it's all on us to do that in the suit.
It's unbelievable. It's like working with a ditch digger. What's going on?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. You look at these two teams, Midwest and Lewisburg. Midwest has scored 55 points in the year. Lewisburg has scored 51 points in the year. On offense, Midwest has a little over 1,100 yards. They have 1,116 yards total offense in the year. Lewisburg has 1,141 yards total offense in the air. So you're looking at these things and you're thinking, gosh darn, this could be a 3-0, 3-2, 7-6 game, you know? Probably end up 35-28, you know?
But I see opportunity.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when these two teams played last year, it was very similar to what's going on right now. You know, both teams had losing records, and this game was a little earlier in the year last year, and Lewisburg came out, and their team speed just overwhelmed Midwest last year, and Lewisburg got off to a huge first quarter lead. They put up four scores in the first quarter, and essentially that was the ball game, and I think team speed could be an issue again this year. It's Lewisburg has the speed advantage on their athletes. It's just a question is, does the line open up holes for those running backs to get through and stuff? So I think that, as every week, Steve, it's a key, this offense and defensive line.
But I'll flip it to this. We all know they're on a tough run right now.
Sure.
Fair?
Yes.
Yet, when you see something like this and you're facing another team that's also on a tough run, I think it changes the mentality in practice.
Oh, yes. It has, and you know, again, they're 0-7, Steve, but at practice last night, I was there for about an hour and a half watching them last night in practice. It's a spirited practice. You know, the kids are up, they're excited, they're doing the same things they were doing at the beginning of the year before they lost the game, and that's a credit to the kids and a credit to the coaching staff to keep these kids involved like they are throughout this season.
And that's, you know, now what about just one last question, because
sure.
I know we're up against it here at the top.
Yeah.
But what about the quarterback play? And, you know, listening to Chief talk about all the twists and turns. And now Shikalemi is, I mean, they're playing a defensive end, a quarterback who's doing his best. How do you feel about the Lewisburg situation?
Well, Lewisburg's quarterback's coming back. He was in concussion protocol the last two games, so he's coming back. He was cleared to play last game, but it was a coach's decision to keep him out of the game. And
good for him. Good for him, by the way.
That's exactly right, and that's why I said with something like that, that gives you a reason to want your kid to play for that coach because he had the player's safety at mind there instead of the team winning or competing that last week. So I think that's going to be a key. And he only plays one way. He doesn't play defense. He only plays offense. And I think with the rushing attack they've had the last two games, changing their offense, I think there's going to be some opportunities to throw the ball downfield on Saturday night when they play Midwest.
By the way, you sound a lot better this week.
Hey, so I feel a lot better, too.
Good. No, I'm thrilled. I'm really happy about that.
Thank you.
Hey, good luck with both games. You'll be able to rest your voice on Friday.
I will be resting my voice.
I mean, you're just like your 5 seconds of filler, probably a quarter.
Yes. That sounds good to me.
All right, Greg, thanks so much, my friend.
Hey, take care.
You too. All right, Adam Rittenberg coming up on the show as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.